and all, and until we totally acknowledge that, we're not going to experience it all and all. We'll experience it a little bit at a time. But I tell you what, he's going to bring us to that place where we come to where we do acknowledge that he is our all in all. You know, even Jesus said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said there's coming a time when everything will be turned back to God. Even he himself will be turned back. Well, that's when we'll come to realize that he is totally God and he's God in us with the fullness of God. Praise God. Well, the title to my sermon today is Power of Praise. Okay? And I think I told you power in praise, but that's okay. It's in the praise and it's of praise too. So it doesn't make any difference. And I was just going to tell you, I got a little spider up here trying to attack me. I was looking at praise in the scriptures, and I was looking at it in my Strong's Concordance. And the word praise is in the scripture 248 times. So I'd say it's pretty important, you know. And it'll only take me about 3 days to go through them all, okay? So so y'all sit back and relax. No, I'm only going to give you two of them today, okay? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come in your presence right now. I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. I ask you to just pour yourself out of me today in this little word here that I'm sharing. And that let us all realize the importance of praising you in all things and in all situations. And when we really come to the true understanding of that, I believe that your presence is going to be seen continuously. Praise God. I give you all praise and glory today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll probably put these on. I can read it without them some. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, you know, scripture says, by their fruits shall you know them. Now, I got news for you. If the fruit of your lips is coming out as sour fruit, they're not going to listen to you. But if it's coming out as sweet fruit, they're going to want to hear more. And I just want to tell you that it's a sacrifice of praise. And you know, a sacrifice means you have to put a little bit of effort into it. You know, as we're worshiping out here and singing, don't feel inhibited about raising your hands. Don't feel inhibited about just praising God. I'm going to tell you what, there's a release a lot of times when you raise them hands and you begin to praise God. You know, if I went out into the parking lot and somebody come up out there with a gun and said, stick them up, you know what? I'd put them up pretty fast. But when you come in here, sometimes we're real slow in raising them up to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, don't let that inhibit you. You know, when you start raising your hands unto the Lord, what you're doing is you're creating an atmosphere of submission to him. You're creating an atmosphere of his presence. And I tell you what, you might be surprised what will happen if you do that. You might find out that if you got any ailments, the ailments go away. If you got problems, all of a sudden the answers start coming. You know, I love what Margaret said about Precious's mother. And it's funny that her name is Blessing. You know, the government tried to keep the blessing out of America. But guess what? God said no. The blessing's coming into America. Because that's her name, Blessing. So a lot of times We think the government's all powerful. Well, they're not. God's more powerful than all authority. He is the head of all authority. Okay? So let the fruit of your lips, and I want you to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. The fruit of your lips is thanksgiving unto his name. And when you praise the Lord, that's what you're doing. My second scripture is this. It's Deuteronomy 10:21. And this is not one that you'll see very often. But it says this. He. And you know who he is? It's God. He is thy praise. If you want to feel his presence, get the he is to come around. And when you start praising him, he comes around. He is thy praise. He is thy God. Hath done these great things and terrible things which thy eyes have seen. Okay. You know, Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. And Judah means praise. And he not only was born of the tribe of Judah, but it was prophesied back years ago that a ruler would come out of Judah. And he was that ruler. It wasn't David, although a lot of people like to think it was David. The Jews tend to think it was David. But I got news for you, it was Jesus. He was the fulfillment of the ruler coming out of the tribe of Judah. And, you know, He is the praise. He is thy God. Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah, which means praise. He is the king of praise. When we praise him, he rules and reigns in whatever situation that we're in. And I got news for you. A lot of times, you know, a few weeks ago I talked to you, about the sovereignty of God a little bit, you know, about him being sovereign. And I told you he was a sovereign door, okay? And in Psalms 24, it talks about lift up your heads, ye gates. Be them lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory. And it tells you he's mighty in battle. And you know, we was on vacation one time with Stan and Linda years ago, and we was driving through Tennessee, and we were going up through the mountains there, and Linda started getting inspired, you know, driving through the mountains, and she wrote that song, "The Battle Is Over and the Victory's Been Won. My old man is cast down in the image of him. The battle is over, you know, and the victory's won." You know, she wrote that song while we were driving through the mountains, you know. And, you know, the neat thing about it is that the battle is over, you know. And, you know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. I'm going to read this to you because I wrote this down this morning. It says, I talked to you about the sovereign door. Can I talk to you about lifting up your heads, your gates, and being lifted up, your everlasting doors? And he will come in, the King of Glory, mighty in power. I talked to you about the scripture, talks about the two-leaved gates. And the two-leaved gates is in Isaiah chapter 45. And I told you that I felt like that the Lord let me know years ago that the two-leaved gates are these two right here. And, you know, those two leaved gates can either speak life or they can speak death. And I got news for you. Back in Isaiah, it says that he would cut the bars asunder of brass and of iron. In Isaiah, it says that. And he was talking about Cyrus when he was going to bring forth Cyrus, his servant, you know. And, you know, when he talks about cutting the bars asunder, the bars of brass always signifies judgment in Scripture. Whenever you see brass, it's talking about judgment. And when you see iron, it's talking about strength. And I got news for you. God wants to cut the bars asunder of your strength so that you will rely on his strength. He wants to cut the bars asunder of brass so that you will not judge with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but you'll only judge righteous judgment. And when you judge righteous judgment, you'll be just like what Jesus said. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to set it free. And that's what he wants us to do, see? And, you know, we have to come to realize that we have the ability to speak negative things or positive things, and we need to start speaking positive things. And when we find ourselves grumbling and complaining, Scripture says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be harmless and blameless, the sons of God, amidst a crooked and perverse nation, to whom you shine forth as lights in the world. But I got news for you. If we find ourselves moaning and groaning and complaining about everything, that light gets pretty dim. You know, I told you, I think it was a week or, it was actually about a week ago, I guess it was, when I had Holden come down and help me put up a ladder. And this ladder was like, it's a 30-something foot ladder. So it's a pretty long ladder, you know. And I had some lights in my backyard that shine down on the backyard at night. It only comes on at night. And, you know, there's no houses behind me, just woods. But I like to keep it lit up back there at night, you know. And anyway, I only had one light that was just flickering because I have four of them back there, and it was only one flickering. And I asked Holden if he'd come down and give us a hand on putting up that ladder and stuff, and he did, and he wanted to do it all by himself. And I told him, no, you can't do that. It's too heavy. But I appreciated him really being willing to come and help me and stuff. And so we set up the ladder, and I would have went up there, and he said, Grandpa, I'll go up there. I said, thank you. I'm kind of old, climbing up a 30-something foot ladder, 30-something feet up in the air. You know, but I stayed at the bottom of the ladder and held the ladder, kept my foot up against it real heavy so it couldn't slip or slide or anything. Well, like the good young man that he is, he scurried right up there. And he changed them lights, you know, and I so appreciated that. But, you know, a lot of times in life, we have to be willing to not let negative things come out of our mouth, because when we let the negative things come out of our mouth, what we do, we're turning off the light. And if you're mumbling and grumbling and complaining all the time, it's pretty hard for you to talk about how great God is in your life. And we have to really come to a place where we quit moaning and groaning all the time, and we have a tendency to do that. So we have the ability to speak life or to speak death. And we know that the power of the tongue, Scripture tells you the power of the tongue is, there's power in the tongue of life and death. And I'm going to tell you, when we begin to praise God, that's when his power is released in situations. And you know, years ago, the Lord gave me a poem, and I'm going to share this poem with you. I'm not going to talk to you real long today. I'm just going to share what I feel like the Lord gave me to share with you, and that's what I'm doing right now. And it's called, Can I or Will I? Can I or Will I? You know, sometimes you can do something. Other times you have to will to do something. And you know, Holden had to be willing to scurry up that ladder and change them lights. I would have done it, you know, because they were my lights, and I definitely wouldn't have let Margaret do it. And if I wasn't careful, she'd be wanting to hustle over and try to do it, because Margaret's a doer. I have to kind of slow her down once in a while because she overdoes it a lot of times. But I so appreciate his willingness to scurry up that ladder and change them lights. And this poem goes, Can I or Will I? And I'm going to tell you what, we can never overemphasize the power of praise. And you know, if you don't understand how important it is to praise God, you need to understand it after this day. Because if you don't, those doors are not going to swing open. When he said, lift up your head, ye gates, lift up your head, ye everlasting doors, and the Lord will come in Psalm 24. How do you lift up your head? How do you lift up? And it opens the gates. It's by praise. That's how you do it, by praising God in all things. And here's the poem here. Can I praise him when I'm happy, or will I praise him when I'm sad? Notice the can and will. Okay. Can I praise him when things are going my way, or when things are looking bad? Can I praise him for the little child who's quiet and sleeping still? Or will I praise him when that child is growing and about to break my will? Anybody ever experienced that? Any of you parents that's had, your kids are sort of grown up, you've experienced that. Can I praise him when my finances are about to overflow? Or will I praise him when financially there's nowhere to go? Can I praise him when the things at work are really going fine? Or will I praise him when it's a hectic mess and I'm about to lose my mind? We've all been there. I have to laugh because I've been in that situation many times, and sometimes I hear Mark saying, oh, my God, I got to do this, I got to do that. Because he has some really tough jobs to do sometimes, really precise, and sometimes it just don't work when you're doing it. And you got, and man, it's a mess. You think, oh, my God, this is a hectic mess. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. Can I praise him in the sunshine, or will I praise him in the rain? Can I praise him when I'm in perfect health, or when my body is racked with pain? That's not an easy thing to do. The can seems mighty easy, and the will we must purpose to do. For only if we will but praise him, then his presence will refresh and renew. And you know, I had a brother say something to me one time. I was talking to him about praise, and he doesn't come to church here anymore. And it wasn't because of what I said to him, because that was years and years before that. But he says, you think we should praise God when things are going wrong? Should we praise him for things going wrong? I said, no, you don't praise him for things going wrong. You praise him in spite of things going wrong. You acknowledge him in every situation, in every circumstance, and you begin to say, Lord, I know you're in control of it all. I'm going to praise you, and whatever is supposed to come out of this, I love what you said today, Clyde, about what you told the person when they were blowing up your kidney stones, or getting ready to blow them up, I guess, and when you told that person, you says, I've had these kidney stones, but I believe God brought me here to meet you. And guess what? Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes that's the case. And you know what? I remember Kathy when you was in the hospital. And Kathy, she went through up and down all kind of things. And, man, I tell you what, that poor girl, she had all kind of things going on. When I say poor, I'm just saying not that you're poor, but, you know, you had a lot going on, and I know you did. And you had a lot of struggles and stuff. But I remember you saying when you met that one nurse, how you just knew that God maybe had you in there just to meet her, you know. And I tell you what, I came and visited you, and I was talking to her. And then out of all other places I could have seen her, I was over on my side of town, which she didn't live on that side of town. She drove by, and she hollered at me, hi, hi. I looked, and she says, I'm the nurse at the hospital. You know, but God sends people back in your way, you know. And you know what? He knows what he's doing. But a lot of times, if we find ourselves grumbling and complaining and you know, looking on the negative side of the thing, we won't see the light and the positive side of it. And I tell you what, a lot of times once you experience the positive side of it, maybe the negative side was all worth it, you know. You realize that had Paul not been sent to Rome, and had he not been thrown into prison, and all the things that happened to him, look, when he was, I can't remember the name of the island, but they were shipwrecked on this island, and all of the people wanted to abandon the ship. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, there won't be any lives lost if you don't abandon the ship. And they didn't abandon the ship, and they got up on the shore, built a fire, and what happens? A big snake comes up and bites him on the hand, a poisonous snake. Now, Paul could have said, oh, my God, now you got me again. You shipwrecked me on this island. I got this big, ugly snake on my hand. You must really hate me, God. Maybe some of us might have said that. But you know what he did? He shook it off his hand into the fire and went on. And you know what? Because he knew that whatever was happening to him, God was in control of it. God knew exactly what it was all about. He knew why he was going to have him go to where he was going, that he might be a witness for Jesus Christ. And what happened when Paul was... when he was in prison and stuff, most of this happened in the New Testament. That's where it all came from. He wrote those letters to all the churches. Now, he could have sat in prison and could have been, oh, me, oh, my. I know the Lord must not love me. I don't understand why all this bad stuff's happening to me. I just don't get it. And you know what? This thing probably never would have come about. But he knew to praise God. When Peter was cast down into the prison, and Peter was in prison, and they began to praise God, all of a sudden there was a great earthquake, and the doors sprang open, and the chains fell off, and everything else. And guess what? Even the jailer got saved and his household. But we don't understand the power of praise. Now, I'm going to tell you, those two-leaved gates that God's talking about the King of Glory coming in, where the King of Glory comes in is the minute you begin to praise God and you really start praising him, he's in there already, but he comes through the gates. He comes through the doors. And you know, Scripture, he said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and answer unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. And I'm going to tell you what, we have to come to that place where we acknowledge him right in the middle of whatever's happening. And it's not an easy thing to do. You have to will to do that. You know, if you think it ain't partially about willing, remember what Jesus happened before he was taken to the cross when he went up into the Garden of Gethsemane? And you know what Gethsemane means? It means oil press or wine press. He was going into a place where he was being pressed. And he was being pressed to the point where he said, Father, and this was him talking in the flesh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But what did he say after that? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And let me tell you what, as soon as he spoke those words, the fullness of the Spirit of God rose up in him, and he was willing to lay down his life for all mankind, because that was the will of the Father. He had been in the Father. He had been in the fullness of the Father. Now he was in the flesh, just like us. He was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. We're tempted a lot of times, and guess what we do? Sometimes we sin. In that sense. But you know what? There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, because he died for the sins of the whole world. We've been forgiven. We need to trust him. We need to look to him in all situations, in all circumstances. I just want you to understand that those two leaved gates, they're right here. And those two leaved gates, when you open them and you begin to speak forth the praises of God and to acknowledge Him in every situation, what happens is all the bars of brass start getting cut. There is no judgment. All the bars of iron, your strength, starts getting cut. Remember what happened to Paul when he said he was given abundance of revelation, and the revelation that he was given, he said that he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And sometimes we feel like when something's going wrong with us, we say, oh, God, it feels like Satan's buffeting me today. But let me tell you what, he besought the Lord three times. And I love that three is in the scripture time after time after time, you know, the number three. Because I tell you what, that third time that he besought the Lord told him, my strength is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. And as long as you realize you're weak and he's strong, then when you realize that, you can say to him, there's a scripture that says, let the weak say what? I'm strong. But why are you strong? Because of his presence in your life. Because of what he does and how in control he is of everything. And I tell you what, when we come to realize that as we begin to praise him in all situations, in all circumstances, not for the situation, not for the circumstance, but in spite of it, then it has no power over you. It has power over you when you don't acknowledge his presence, when you don't acknowledge and you try to do it in your strength. Because when you try to do it in your strength, guess what? You're going to fail. But I just want you to know that I'm going to read you that poem one more time. Can I or will I? Can I praise him when I'm happy? That's pretty easy to do. Praise the Lord, man, this is a great day. Everything's going my way. You know, everything's happening good. Or will I praise him when I'm sad? Can I praise him when things are going my way or when things are looking bad? Can I praise him for the little child who's quiet and sleeping still? Or will I praise him when he's growing and about to break my will? Can I praise him when my finances are about to overflow? Or will I praise him when financially there's no place to go? Can I praise him when the things at work are really looking fine? Will I praise him when it's a hectic mess and I'm about to lose my mind? Can I praise him in the sunshine or will I praise him in the rain? Can I praise him when I'm in perfect health or when my body is racked with pain? The can seems mighty easy, the will we must purpose to do. For only if we'll but praise him will his presence give us strength and renew. Or refresh us and renew us. Praise God. I just want to tell you, acknowledge him quickly in any situation. Praise the Lord. Don't look at the negative side of things. Look at the positive side. You know, you serve a mighty God. There's nothing can touch you unless he allows it to touch you. Nothing can happen in your life unless he's allowed it to happen. And if he has, rather than grumbling and complaining about it, start praising him in spite of it. You don't have to praise him for it, but praise him in spite of it. And I tell you what, you'll find that you'll gain a surpassing victory. You'll find that you'll start to even sometimes understand as you look back on things later on what was really happening, you know, because a lot of times it's not what it appears to be initially. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. I know this has been a little short, but that's basically what I felt like the Lord gave me. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Keep on praising the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your presence right now. We ask you to help us be a people of praise. You sent the praisers out, Father, when the enemy was coming against them. You put the praisers out in front of the army. Now, I don't know how these guys are here that play the music and lead to singing, but I think we ought to send them over to Afghanistan or somewhere and stick them out in the front. Yeah, amen. You start praising the Lord, and the armies will turn around and they'll run off that you fight. Praise God. But I tell you what, when we come to the right attitude in things, we're going to find that there is so much power in praising God. And it opens the doors to His presence. His presence, when you begin to praise Him, the doors are opened and His presence is there. I like that what it said in Deuteronomy 10:21. He is your praise. He is your God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. I ask you to bless your people as they go forth. Help them to walk victoriously in you through praising you in all situations, in all circumstances. And I know that's hard to do, and it's hard in my own life to do that. And I can't say that I always do it all the time, but I'm saying I'm trying to. I'm putting forth that effort. Can I or will I? I have to make sure that I will to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.